Today, it's Edwin's Monday Evening Property Rant. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. We have the latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Well, it might be close to Christmas, but Edwin is still with me. Hi, Edwin. How are you doing?
Just barely, Martin. Just barely.
Are you counting down or are you counting up?
Oh, I don't know. Just counting sideways at the moment. You take one step forward and you get hit, you're two steps back. But look, I've got to ask you the question, Martin. Is Santa Claus bringing you a Christmas present?
No.
Have you been a good boy?
No, I've not been a good boy, and I don't expect any present. I'm going around in little circles at the moment trying to sort everything out. So I'm trying to push stuff out of the house rather than receiving more stuff coming back in the house.
Yeah, making room for John stuff that puts in their temporary storage, I guess.
Well, I don't know about that, but I'll tell you, I keep discovering more storage areas full of Jill's old ring binders and old law books and all sorts of things. So it's amazing what you find when you start digging around.
Yeah, there's got to be a bit of, look, you keep on digging and you might find a bit of hidden treasure there along the way as well.
It's possible. I'm not holding my breath. I suspect that most of it's pretty worthless and just a lot of volume. But anyway, I threw out 1 9-cubic-meter skip. I've got a second, which is sort of roughly half full at the moment. So we're, you know, plowing our way through. And of course, you know where I live. There's a bit of a hill between where I've got the skip and where the house is. So every time I sort of carry stuff, I've got to carry it down the hill and then walk up the hill again. So good exercise, I guess.
Oh, look, it is. Talking about exercise, did you stay up and watch the World Cup?
No, I'm not a footy puss person, but some did.
Yeah, some did. I didn't myself, but they told me China won. Is that right?
I don't know who it was, but somebody won.
Yeah, look, all Dusty tells me is that the South American state of China, Argentina, they won. But my understanding is that China own Argentina now.
Yeah, I gather it was quite a good match and it went right the way through to penalties. I always think, is penalties a good way to finish a football match? But I don't know, maybe I'm just old school. There you go.
Exactly. Yeah, I reckon that you just keep on playing until they drop. Yeah, look, I'm being South American, albeit, but I lost interest in soccer, I think, in my late teens. I thought it was interesting. Elon Musk was there, so it's got to have been exciting. And he's also ran a poll, Martin. Ran a poll as to whether people want him to step down as the CEO of Twitter or not. And I think the yeses won. But I'm also told by Dusty that John Adams wants to be the CEO of Twitter. Is that true?
I think he's in the middle of a few other things at the moment, including moving house. So he may not be available just at this time.
Yeah, well, look, I'm just going by what Dusty and Evan tell me. I mean, they're on social media all the time, so that's what Dusty tells me. And Evan tells me that Robbie Barwick wants to join Penny Wong and go to China and bat for Australia. I'm just hearing this shit, you know.
Well, I have to say it's quite interesting having had Albo talk to Jay. Now they're going to follow up with another visit. You know, it's quite interesting. I guess she'll be one of the few people wandering around China, because everybody else seems to be locked down again.
Look, they are. They're very much locked down, and this is one of the things. This is that from our discussions, as we said, with the reopening. It's all about people have just been caught in a dreadful winter, and obviously with winter comes the flu and every other bug around the place. So they're running scared, and so there's no medication, no even traditional medicine available, because the shelves have been emptied out, as we've been discussing, which also puts a strain as the effect on us. It puts a strain on their economy, puts a strain on their productivity, and it's going to put a further strain on us in terms of receiving goods. I mean, they're the things that one of the things that the WeChat chatterers are talking about in that's happening in mainland China, other than obviously the proposed visit from Penny, and so forth. I mean, so there's a slide that I sent you with regards to the closure. That's a national logistic route closure or stop work schedule, proposed schedule for 2023 during the Spring Festival. So when people Google Translate that, they'll see that these are major hubs and major cities, areas that where the parcel delivery companies, let's say your Australia Post scenario equivalent, are basically going to be stop working or stop delivering parcels because one, they don't have enough people in the workforce because everybody's running, sick, and a lot of people in voluntary lockdowns because they're sick or they fear of getting sick. So that's going to put a huge strain. And this is the first time historically that this something like this has happened, is what we've been told from WeChat chatterers in China. But it's going to put a huge strain on the local markets there, Mark.
Yeah, very interesting. And I was reading a few articles over the weekend regarding China, and on one hand, you've got people saying, "Oh, it's all going to open quickly, and it's all going to come back to normal," but actually, the latest data appears that it's far from that. There are a lot of people staying at home and hunkering down, as you say, they can't get resources, and they're talking about months and months of disruption and delay, and a significant rise in the number of COVID cases. You know, they're talking huge numbers potentially. So I think there's a long way to play out. So as you say, potentially more supply chain disruption around the world.
Definitely. This is what we've been talking about, what we've been telling our followers, our viewers of the range. And again, it does have an effect on us, on our the construction industry here, and obviously the real estate industry, which is what we're talking about, the property rents. It's all about property and how it's going to affect any decisions that people are going to be making. And more to the point, the cost of materials and cost of moving forward, because there's a lot of other things that are happening locally, as well as from our suppliers of materials, being China the main one. There are other things that we're going to talk about tonight as to what is going to cause and create an increase in further construction costs with the proposed changes that are being implemented in nationally as well. So that's interesting. Apart from that, on the mainland China, and other people are talking about, which I've put up on Twitter as well, which are talking about with Zero Hedge. Put out a report with regards to saying that, will China invade Taiwan? And somebody wrote an article saying not in 2023 at least. But look, some of the people there think otherwise. The mainland China, WeChat chatterers think otherwise. If anything, it's almost like everything is poised. It's almost like they need a reason for. For military action, something that they need a distraction in order to distract the people from basically the economic carnage that they're facing. And this is that's been one of the trends for many centuries, where there's an economic carnage in a particular country, you know that they're going to more or less declare war with the next door neighbor or further afield in order to try and kickstart the economy. But the other interesting thing that they're talking about with regards to Taiwan in this scenario is that, let's not forget that TSM are moving their the production of the chips over to America, and that they feel, the WeChat chatterers feel, that that's one less reason for the US to get involved. Should the move take place in 2023 or close by?
Well, there's certainly a lot there, which is uncertain. And it's often the case, isn't it, that, create conflict over there creates a distraction from what's happening locally. So you can see that there could be some logic to it. But I hope they're a little more sensible than what's going on in the Russian axis. But, who knows? We could certainly continue to see considerable disruption and conflict, and of course that leads then to a bunch of knock-on effects, and that knock-on effects particularly for Australia could be quite significant because of the massive trade relationship with China.
And that's what I'm not a believer that China's going to do anything against Australia or launch missiles or anything, because they've got too much invested in Australia anyway. Word on the street has it that Xi Jinping's siblings one lives in Melbourne, one lives in Sydney. So it's, whether it's true otherwise or hearsay, I've seen documents and the like of that say, and I know people that have told me that have worked in that have done some work in one of the homes in where his brother lives. So look, I've really got to take it at face value. So apart from that, I think we're too far for it. If anything, it's going to be more of an economic situation, a problem that we will face. And secondly, it'll be one of these things that our military will get involved. Because of the allegiance that we have to the Yanks and the rest of the world. So who knows? It's just one of those things. But it's not looking good. There's wars, rumors of wars and everything else. I'm just waiting for the frogs to start coming forth and the locusts and everything else to materialize.
Well, yes. There are a few more different plagues to come, aren't there? Well, let's talk about the local WeChat chat, because that's quite interesting too, isn't it?
Look, it is. It's rather interesting. Of late, what we've noticed of late is there's been a lot of advertising for room letting. So I started getting Dusty and Evan to start asking questions as to why that's so much available. Well, one of the reasons is that a lot of property that got bought earlier on in the year have now come back on the rental market by way of room letting. So you're getting properties that were bought, mid-2022, have now been spruced up, cleaned up, and all the amenities added to it. So where they might have had one bathroom, now they've got three. Where they might have had two, now they've got five. Where they may have been a four-bedroom house, now it's a seven-bedroom dwelling that's being advertised. So there's a lot of room lettings that are being advertised. That's one of the things that we've been noticing, or Dusty and I have been noticing on the platforms on WeChat. But the other thing also, Martin, I wanted them to dig a little bit deeper try and give us a reason why, is there's a lot of tools for sale. There's a lot of tools for sale on the platform, and we reached out to our some of our legal eagles in the migration side of things, and there seems to be a pattern from the government to that there's this pressure on the current current state government. There's a lot of pressure to rid and to really step up in the backlog of these ghost migrants that are asking for permanent tenure in Australia. So there's a big push to get rid of that backlog. And obviously with that, we know from the fact that a lot of them are not being accepted, and they're basically being told to pack their bags and go. So that could be one of the reasons. But they're the two trends that have surfaced. A lot of single bedroom dwellings being available. The other reason for the vacancy, there's a lot of the advertising for single bedrooms, is they're also saying, some of the WeChat chatterers are saying that they're getting a lot better pay, which you and I have discussed about as well, even with the with other tradies going into interstate or going into the regions where they've been flood affected, because they're making a killing, they're making a mozza.
Absolutely. And you're touching on what, let's call it ghost migration, right? So there's the official migration, and then there's a little bit of fuzziness around the edge. If indeed some of those go the other way, that's going to reduce the migration, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it depends on, the calling, the construction sector, the construction industry is calling for a ramp up of other skilled intake. So is it really going to have a dent? Is it really going to make an effect? I don't know. I really don't know. I think there's more coming in than going out.
Well, I did a post over the weekend saying that big Australia's back, baby.
Yeah, I saw that.
Because the point is that the migration has gone way high, and the expectation now is that it's going to be even higher ahead, of course, and that's going to put all sorts of pressures. But, of course, we've been signaling that for, a long time, haven't we, Eben?
It's just one of those things. And if people think that the other side, the other wing would have been different, I mean, they've got rocks in their head. because it's
no, they're the size of the same bird as we've said before. Well, let's move on and just talk about one or two of the articles. This is quite an interesting one.
Yeah, well, they should have titled this article rather than putting "Energy Laws Must Improve Older Homes," industry says. They should have the writer should have titled it "One Landlord Is as Bad as the Other," because one of the main key points that this article raises is the deficiency in the standard of living that the rental side of the population are facing, and one of the instigators or one of the culprits is public housing is the government. So that's one of the things that stood out the most to me in this article, and how what it translates to is that basically the article's talking about renters are spending up to 12 to 15% or so of their income on cooling or heating their homes, as opposed to owner occupiers that are spending about 3%, which is a huge disparity.
Yeah, no, that's very important. And in my surveys, I'm seeing quite a lot of disparate data in terms of living costs. But there's a very strong theme that comes through, and that is that a lot of people in the rental sector are in less well-insulated houses that actually have less efficient mechanisms. So as a proportion of their income, they're putting a lot more to just trying to get by. And the other point, of course, Edwin, is we're noticing quite a lot of old investment property now coming back on the market. That's because right. Essentially the property investors are saying, well, hang on, there's no capital growth. There's obligations that I've got in terms of maintenance and smoke alarms and all the rest of it. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to get shot of it. And so quite a lot of the stuff that's coming on the market at the moment is of low quality and, frankly, ex-rental.
Yeah, and this is what we've been saying to our followers and our viewers, is be careful what you're buying. And if you're buying somebody else's renovation, be careful as to you might think it's well renovated. In most of the cases, I would say 6 out of 10 or 7 out of 10, the renovations are just makeshift renovations, and they're shoddy. Just to on-sell the property to the next person that latches onto it and then finds out that there's a lot greater issues going on in the property. And unfortunately, these are your typical areas where your first home buyers would be buying into, and they get stung. But I shouldn't say just where it has happened a lot, and I have seen a lot in the high end markets as well, where people spending anywhere upwards of $3-5 million on homes with just the shoddy renovations just to pass the parcel on, and the next person gets stuck with it and gets stuck with a lemon, and they have to further spend tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars to get things rectified properly. But the other side as well, Martin, is this is going to be, as you and I have been saying, this is going to be another reason for the landlords to put properties on the market, which then takes out from the rental pool. But I guess in a way, these properties are going to be taken out from the rental pool anyway, once the powers to be, once fair trading, I'm talking in Sydney, New South Wales, where fair trading, once they start doing their audits, a lot of these properties are going to face a lot of issues. And landlords, frankly, one, they don't want to spend, or they don't have the money to spend on a lot of the rectification work that these homes are required. There's something like 8 million homes that would not comply with the current energy efficiency codes that are coming in. But on top of that, you've also got the National Building and Construction Code and the regulations that are also about to come in, which is going to have even further effects in the build costs. But from that, the federal, state, and local governments are going to start putting pressure on landlords to bring a lot of these older homes up to speed. Let's face it, a lot of these homes are freaking old, and in a lot of cases, landlords wouldn't have done anything to these properties to bring up to speed over the last 10, 15, 20 years.
Yeah, well, the energy standards and the changes that are coming through are huge and could have a significant bearing on the forward maintenance costs and renovation costs. And I guess the other point there is, Edwin, that if you are buying a property, particularly in perhaps an older property, it's really important to understand how the current energy regulations map into those that actually were there when the property was built. Because you could actually be in for a significant expense that you weren't expecting.
Well, that's right. And this is where now a lot of you, obviously, if you're living in a property, you're not going to sue yourself should anything happen, right? You're not going to sue yourself. Well, you could try. But insurances are going to play a big role. And you won't get a lot of insurance cover if it's your own, private place of residence. But a lot of this takes effect when these homes go into the rental arena. And this is where things are going to get harder and harder and tougher for the landlords, particularly when the regulators are going to start regulating and they're going to start going out there and doing their audits, which George from ITC and myself have been talking about for a number of years. It's timely, it's due. The legislation came in ages ago, and now it's time that that fair trading were supported by greater funding in order to conduct these audits, because there are a lot of homes, there are a lot of properties in a lot of areas, not only homes but also apartments, where you could one would say that these poor bastards, the rental side of the rental population are living in squalor and are living in lower standards of what you would see in third world countries.
No, absolutely, and I've had a few interactions with people in the rental sector who are really in very poor conditions, and they're trying to work out what to do, what to say to the landlord, because of course if they make a fuss, they're worried that they might just get kicked out. And then of course the question is, if you get kicked out, where do you go? So it's a really, really difficult situation.
Oh, look, it is. It is, and we can only keep on going. And then you've got the next article, being dumb and dumber, is where one starts to think about things, because the government wants to bring in more skilled labour, as we discussed earlier on in the show, and to build, wait for it, to build homes for the migrants that are coming in. So as Macro Business puts it out there, so build, that they want builders or more skilled immigration needed to build more homes for migrants. So it's a conundrum. It's really one of
sounds a bit recursive to me, right? So basically, we are building more homes for the people who are coming in to build more homes, that are coming in to build more homes. Hang on a moment, that's not going to solve anything, is it?
No. But look, I think I've said a lot before, and I'll say it again. There's a lot of industries where we're going to be import. We want to import labour, but yet we won't employ the people that are at hand. We won't employ the citizens. Why? Because of these bloody mandates that are still in place. That's, to me, that will bring in another 15-20% of the working population in the construction sector, in the industry, back on. But people have just had enough. People have just had enough in this industry, and they really, to navigate through a lot of that, and to navigate through these mandates and through these emergency situations that we're currently facing, facing these issues. It's put a huge restraint, and not only as to run a small business or a small company as a contractor, but also to employ people, Matt. It's crazy, the stuff that I hear out there from the trades, from different trades, as to all the hoops that they have to, fiery hoops that they have to go through, and all the hurdles they have to jump in, navigate through. It's bad enough running a small business, a small enterprise, let alone with this extra stuff that the government's put on, because of the the pandemic and all this other BS that's still going around and floating around.
I agree. It's certainly chaotic. And once again, I think there's a good example here where governments do X and forget about the consequence Y, and then they sort of see something and they do Z trying to fix it, and then they create A, and you know, so basically the rule of unintended consequences continues.
Yeah, and the hypocrisy and the stupidity, and this is why I say this is dumb and dumber. I mean, one of the other articles that I thought, I didn't put in there, but I'll bring it to mind anyway, is bring it to our viewers' attention, is if they haven't already read about it, is they're chopping trees down in the streets in Victoria to allow EV-powered, vehicles, electric powered vehicles for the postal deliveries and so forth. I mean, hello.
Unintended consequences. Once again, it's a very important object lesson. Anyway, let's go on and talk about the numbers, because the numbers are down, down. The numbers are down.
Well, that's it. They're most of them are resting for the end of the year. It's going to be interesting to see when they start jumping back up. And look, I put out a prediction there. I put out my audacious five predictions out there earlier on today to our musketeers on the Twitter sphere. And I believe that the numbers won't clock back up. The homes for sale numbers won't clock back up until we well and truly go past the first quarter. I think there's going to be from my discussions again with the industry, with people, across the board, and there's been a change in sentiment, a change in wanting to get be the first cab off the rank in order to get the best price. But now that we're moving into 2023, and with with a lot of the narrative and a lot of the stuff that was being put out by the mainstream media, I think people may hold back in listing the homes for sale in Sydney. That is, coming back on early, and that they're going to take a wait and see. Unless they really have to sell, which is the scenarios that we've been discussing as well. So I don't know, Martin. I think but it is a wait and see because things have been changing so rapidly. But I just get this feeling, this eerie feeling that the numbers on market for homes in Sydney aren't going to be, aren't going to continue to have that growth that we were experiencing, late spring and into summer.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. Although what I would say is, Edwin, that there will be, amongst all the dross, there will be some really interesting properties available, and probably the prices will be quite attractively priced if you have to sell. And what that means is that if you are in a position where you need to move and you need to purchase, there might actually be some relatively good opportunities around. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you should just ignore. Actually, directly after Christmas, start looking around and seeing what's coming on, because there may be an opportunity.
Look, and we're still looking around for some of our clients. More than 50% of our clients have taken a breather, but we've still got 30% are still active, and because that is what we believe as well, and they're in areas where if these opportunities arise, it's going to be one of two things. They are looking for something that they can they're happy to renovate and get assistance in the renovation, and in the areas that we're looking in for these clients is typically the areas where the people that are wanting to sell and want to sell quickly, want it out quickly, are the people, the empty nesters and the retirees that also want to buy into a retirement and want to get this thing over and done with. They don't have to wait for the property value to go up. They own it outright or close enough. But they have to make a decision, or they've already committed to buying a you know, into a retirement village or the like, because retirement village homes, and that's one of the industries that has that hasn't gone down in value. If anything, they've gone they've crept up in value from what we're, you know, from the data that we're seeing. So yeah, so it, but they are specific markets. Again, they're specific markets, a specific style of property or type of property. But the ones that were are wanting the optimum price, the spruced up properties, I think they may sit back a little bit longer. So I don't see a surge coming on, you know, of like we were seeing, as I said, towards the end of spring and going into summer. If we got it, because I still don't believe we got a summer. But anyway, another story.
Well, and just quickly on the numbers then. So as at the 19th of December, 15,064. If we then compare that with last Monday, the 12th, there was 16,259. And on Monday, the 5th, so that was a week earlier, 17,248. So a trend is your friend, I think they say, right? And it's also, I reckon the auctions, well, there's not a hell of a lot of auctions going on 24th of December. Funny that.
No, there's two. There's two. But look, I've been following up and I've spoken with the agents. The one at in Bass Hill is an interesting one. I don't believe that Santa is going to visit it, so I don't think that Elon Musk is going to sideline you for doxing Santa. You know, as he comes into Australia on the 24th. You know, some might have thought that the agent and the owner may have thought that that may be the first visit for somebody. You know, Santa may make an appearance there, but I don't believe so, because the vendor's expectation is way too high for the area. It's a new duplex, but it's way too high. I just think it's ballsy to go out there and try and you know, be the only ones out. I think maybe they want that. I'm a believer that one or two of these agents thought that they might attract mainstream media coverage, you know, by going out, by being the only two auctions in the Sydney metro area to be out on the 24th. So
Think they've missed an important point. Most of the journos are already on leave, and you know they won't be back until the new year. So there's no news now for at least 2 weeks.
Exactly, and if you work for Channel 10, there's no bonus. you can only hope. And the one in Schofield, look, there's a duplex that was bought in 2018 for just under a little bit over 800,000, I think, from memory. And now they want a big upside. I don't think Sandra's going to visit that one either. So I'm not a believer. But look, it is ballsy. It is a strategy. It's just interesting, the marketing strategy that agents are adopting, and they're trying all sorts of things. You got to give it to them. But at least they try. But yeah, I think they're both going to be fizzers. And there's only one auction registered for Victoria. I didn't do a search on that one.
Oh well, very good. Now let's move on then to the next data point, which of course is Melbourne. So Melbourne on the 19th, 23.
Oh, sorry, Martin, to interrupt you. What's that? All right, Dusty reckons her prediction for auction clearance rates for Sydney is going to be 110%.
110%. Okay, right. We'll hold her to that. Very good. Okay, let's go on to Melbourne. So the Melbourne numbers on the 19th were 23,964, compared with the 12th, 25,194, and on the 5th, 25,620. So not quite such an ease back, but still a bit of an ease back.
It is, but when you start looking at the specifically at the homes for sale, Matt, the homes for sale are consistent. There's only about 800 properties that have come off the market. When you do that comparison, yep. on a Monday to Monday. So it's really, really interesting how in terms of for sale listing numbers. It's really becoming more and more. And even in the seasonal changes that we would have expected, I would have expected to be closer to, let's say, 9,000 homes for sale. But we've still got 12,000, you know, almost 12,500 homes for sale still listed on the market for sale, which is rather interesting. Apartments are half of that, so I think a lot of people are giving up on the sale of apartments, and they're just sort of sitting back because I guess in a way there's so much underwater that they can't make the difference even if they did sell to pay off the loan. They'll have a debt on their hands. That's one of my reasons why I've seen a drop in apartments for sale in Melbourne.
Oh, I agree. Yes, the apartment market is definitely sort of weeping and gnashing of teeth at the moment. But there's a lot of houses, a lot of people now getting to the point where they are being forced into selling as well. So there are some forced sales in those numbers. And again, in recent conversations, I've had a few people who are now in the situation where they know that they're going to have to try and move quite quickly. So I wouldn't be surprised to see quite a lot of momentum immediately after Christmas and in the new year. In Victoria. Now, I think Brisbane's a bit different. I think there's a little bit of interesting stuff there. So on the 19th, 5043. If you compare that with the 12th at 5356. And on the 5th, 5592. So a slight easing, but, well, nothing like Sydney.
No, exactly. And it sort of stays more on par with the ease back from Melbourne in a way, when you start looking at it from averages point of view.
Yep.
It's the trend is closer to the Melbourne, because so people are still, like, as you say in your surveys, they're looking and they're wanting to get out, and the transaction, there's a lot of transactions happening there. The interesting thing, Martin, is I was talking to a group of real estate agents today, and I put it up on Twitter, and I asked them what are they doing to prepare for 2023, and more than 50% of them said that they're actually looking for a second job, because they don't feel that the listings or the sales are going to be as much as the performance of 2022. So it's a trend again that what you and I have been talking about, where you and I have been seeing, in my audacious predictions that I put out this morning for 2023, one of them was that, you know, I could see anywhere up to 25% to 30% of the real estate industry or the real estate agents leaving the industry. For that reason, if people aren't going to be achieving the sale prices that they need to, there's going to be a lot of pain, and the ones to feel it the most in a way is really the selling agents, because if they don't sell, they don't get a commission, they don't put food on the table.
Well, I was talking to an agent the other day who was saying that he's changed his strategy. He's not doing open houses anymore. What he's doing is individual viewings.
Right.
It's quite interesting, right? And his argument is, I'm only really interested in dealing with people who are really seriously in purchasing, right? I've got a bit of more capacity now because I'm less busy. So what I'm trying to do is to make sure that it's a quality viewing when I'm actually... And that was quite interesting.
Well, look, that is the Neil Jenman approach to selling. Each to their own. You just got to try something different. But you got to try something different than what your competitor is doing. Is what I say. I'm of the opinion that what works better in these other markets is giving people more a greater time frame to be in the property to basically get more emotionally involved in the property with the open for inspections, particularly on a Saturday when every man and his dog, every real estate agent and his dog wants to have an open for inspections between the hours of 10 o'clock and 1 p.m. Yes. And what you meant to get
10 minutes.
The traffic is insane in Sydney, yeah. Let alone other areas or parts of Sydney. So, I say to uh, to people that use me as a consultant to assist them with the sales, I'll say to them, listen, we need to get an agent on board, a selling agent on board that is going to be prepared to do minimum 1 hour open house inspections now, and is prepared to do not only one, but multiple, and not only midweek, but yeah, multiple 1 hour, apart from everything else, apart from your one-to-ones, apart from your second visits. Basically, that's willing to work, because that's what it used to take. I mean, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's what the industry was all about, is facilitating, that time. And more so, as I said, because Saturdays have become busier. The traffic has become busier. And I'm noticing, not only because of it's the end of year, but also Sundays, even before we got to this stage of the year, I've been noticing an increase in traffic, because I still do a lot of driving myself on the Sunday. And I've noticed more and more traffic because there's more people also working. There's a lot of more people doing side hustles in, just to put bread on the table. So therefore, there seems to me, this is my observation, my personal observation, is I'm seeing a lot more traffic on the road, even on a Sunday. And when I say, I get the feeling it's more people working, because I've noticed a lot more vans, a lot more work type vehicles, and fitted out for work on the road, even on a Sunday.
Yeah, no, I've seen that too. Certainly quite interesting, and see how things shifting around. But talking of shifting around, we should go on to the what's more amazing than a conspiracy theory, or what's more wacky than the, I don't know what the right story is, right?
Well, it's no longer a conspiracy, mate. You and I have been talking about it. Yeah. There you go. Sky News put it out after we did our rant. Sky News last week, Sky News put it out that Victorians are leaving the state in droves. But we've said numbers paint a picture. I mean, look at the for sale property numbers in comparison to all the other states. I mean, they've just been skyrocketing. They've just been screaming. This is prediction number six for 2023. I would say that before the midway into the second quarter of 2023, we will see the for sale listing numbers in Melbourne hit the 30,000.
Yeah, could well. And interestingly, that the ABS published quite a lot of migration statistics, and they showed interstate migration. And they made the point that, in fact, quite a few people moved from New South Wales. In fact, they held the record to other states. Victoria was second. So there's a lot of mashing around, but a lot of people are still going to Queensland, and a lot of people are still going to WA. There's a lot of shifting around. The other interesting observation there is that if you look at where new migrants come into, they come into predominantly Sydney or Melbourne, but then actually move on. So quite often they don't end up buying in Sydney or Melbourne because it's too expensive. They buy in other states as they sort of find their way around the place. So there's some really interesting dynamics, but I do think those higher listings in Victoria can be directly sheeted back to this phenomenon that people are actually wanting to move and needing to move away, and looking to buy in other places where the prices are less silly.
Oh, I thought it had more to do with Dan the Man and Robbie, wanting to get away from Robbie and Daniel Andrews.
Possibly so. But I have to say that the Melbourne weather is still a bit iffy at the best of times, so that may be another reason too. Now there's another nothing burger here though.
Now, look, what you and I talked about, we said that, we talked about the new rules for rent bidding, and it really became a nothing burger. This is short of being stupid. These politicians, honestly. So basically what they're saying in a nutshell is they're saying that if agents put, but yeah, the way if agents advertise, you give a range or from your similar scenarios to your sales type of advertising, you can't, which they call top of bait advertising sort of thing. But if a potential tenant makes the offer, it's okay. Well, what it really is, what they've really done is they've just sanctioned said, look, it's okay to have backdoor bidding. So what's the point of this? What was all this kerfuffle? What was all this fuss about wanting to really, stop to? I go back to the agent is the professional. If the agent, the property manager, cannot dictate to the landlord what they feel is the price for the property on the day, well, they shouldn't be in the business in the first place, because you're still going to get a lot of time wasting. So it was a nothing burger after all. It's just it's crazy.
More politics than anything else, I think, Edwin. More politics than anything else. Wanted to be seen to be doing something. But as you said,
there's an election coming up.
Is that funny, right? That. Funny that. Call me an old cynic.
call me another conspiracy theorist.
Well, I have to say, I think sometimes the political angles are being played more than the policy angles. And so it's almost, how does it look in the media? How is it going to be handled in sort of 24/7 social media, et cetera, et cetera, rather than actually thought through policies that actually really could make a difference? I have to say, I think 70 to 80% of political decisions these days are just made from that sort of short term, how's it going to play angle, rather than the strategic angle. That's a real problem.
Yeah, and have you noticed also, Martin, is that over the last, 2 years particularly, I've noticed that politicians are more concerned about the weight, the way they look, the haircut, the style of clothes, whether it's trendy to wear this or that, rather than freaking, how the population are living, are faring, the economic status. They're more concerned about their freaking image than what they are about the state of the nation. I mean, correct. This is...
It's about marketing and spin and how you present rather than actually what you do. And that is, for me, a fundamental problem with the political machine here in Australia and in other countries too. We seem to have lost the plot. And, the fact is that there are huge, very important issues that should be being addressed and aren't being addressed. And in the meantime, we've got people fiddling while Rome is burning, worrying about their style of their hair and the style of their suit and how they look and whether they've got too much weight. And I mean, that is not where politicians should be spending their time. They're elected by us to help to make Australia better. And at the moment, I'm afraid they're going completely the wrong direction.
Short of the current politicians getting rid of the Balenciaga brands, I mean, it's all just crazy shit.
Absolutely right. Well, yeah, we will have to give them some better advice in the new year and suggest that they focus over here rather than over there. Now, before we close, very, very important piece of advice here, and particularly in the current environment.
Yeah, look, this is happening a lot on WeChat. People are being offered materials to pick up and also backfill dirt. What we've also been told, and I mean, it's happened often the case, from time to time over the years, when we've been renovating homes or doing something, or particularly when we've had a type of flooring, boards will go to where developers are knocking down the old homes, and we try to recycle some of the floorboards if it's a particular type of timber or wood, because it can be very, very expensive and costly. But we've done that on Marana Court, and we've known what we're picking up, and so forth. But what's happening now is people are trying to save money, and there've been a number of people that have been caught out and amongst the pile of rubble that they've been given, there's been contamination. So you've got issues. So you've got no choice but to then you've got to dispose of it properly, and it's going to cost you a fortune. So it may cost you money to pack up a trailer or a ute or whatever, or even get it delivered by the builder. A lot of these people are being offered a delivery service. And then once it gets dumped on your front yard, that's it. It's yours. You got no comment. So be careful what you accept, and ask for proper certification where possible, if you want to take it, or inspect the the free items, the free goods that you think you're going to get, because to make sure that everything's kosher. Otherwise, you can be in all sorts of financial mishaps.
No, I agree. And of course, there's no guarantee that you won't find things like asbestos and other nasties in it. And you know, it's a bit like when you actually order topsoil for the garden, right? You actually then have to be very careful, because you can often find that it's not really topsoil. It's sort of whatever rubbish there is, with stones and other bits and pieces too. So you've got to be really, really careful with this stuff, particularly if it's free.
Yeah. And look, you can even be buying. Obviously, if it's free, it's very, very, very difficult to go back and say, listen, I want my money back, because it's free. The cost is going to be incurred to get it from your front yard, or even the nature strip in front of your house where it got dumped, to dispose of it properly, because the authorities will come down on you. Not the person that gave you, that you accepted the free goods from.
Yeah, very good point. Well, we've come to the end of this show. I guess the question is, Edwin, Boxing Day next Monday, are you up for another show then?
I'm up for a box.
Okay.
Put me in the ring with whoever you want, Martin.
Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we make next Monday at 1800 Sydney a live show? And we can get people to ask us some questions. How about that?
Oh, that sounds great. I'm in for that. So that means that we'll be on later in the evening?
No, let's do the same time. So let's go with 6 p.m. as normal. So our normal 6 p.m. time. I'll put a sticker out early so that people can see. But if people have got particular questions that they'd like to throw at us, you can send it through beforehand, or indeed join us live at 6 p.m. on Boxing Day evening, and Edwin and I will have a live rant.
Yeah, we can have a live rant, and maybe we could come up with we can collate our 2023 predictions.
I think that would be good. I think it would be good to do a quick look back on what 2022 was. And as you say, staking the ground for some predictions for 2023 would be quite neat. So Mike Adaris, folks, a live rant next Monday evening at 1800 Sydney.
I'm in.
Great. See you then. Have a wonderful Christmas Day meantime, and see you soon.
All right, man. Cheers. See Thank ya. You.
Bye-bye.